National Board Election Committee meeting, Sunday, December 17, 2006, 8 p.m. Eastern Time by teleconference. And we could ask the secretary, this is Carolyn Burden, the chair, if we could ask Mary Berg to call the roll.
Okay. Mary Berg, present. Carolyn Burden.
Present.
Jane Gatewood.
Here.
Present. Thank you. Terry Goodman.
Here.
Patty Heffley. Okay, I'll come back to her. Melinda Eiley-John.
Here.
Richard Phelps. Serene Roberts.
I'm here.
Thanks. Debbie Shafto. Deb Shafto. Zarina Shakir. Harrison Wild. Ted Weisgau. Don White.
Here.
Lauren Williams. Carol Wolf.
Here.
And Elizabeth is
Harrison
here.
Harrison Wild.
Okay, hi, thanks, Harrison. Let's see, let me go back. Patty Heffley. Richard Phelps. Deb Shafto. Zarina Shakir. Ted Weisgau. LaVarn Williams. Okay. We'll hope that they will announce themselves when they arrive.
Thank you. All right. We have, does everyone have a copy of the agenda?
Yes.
I have two corrections to make. My own careless typing, I'm afraid. There is nothing under new business. That item was put up under unfinished business, and so if you could just strike that.
Okay.
And the second change would be to add a 60-minute limit on unfinished business. I don't know that we need that, but...
Patty.
Thank you, Patty.
Hi, Patty. But,
hello.
I don't know if we need that, but 60 minutes on unfinished business.
Chair, I have a question.
Yes.
This is Jane. I don't see new business on the draft agenda you sent out.
Oh, all right. Way at the end. After the Appendix B.
I see it now.
See it, last page. So, but I think that was just a mistake, and I hit paste twice. So we can eliminate
and what
that.
Was the other change, please?
Just to add some time. Unfinished business, and I arbitrarily put in 60 minutes, which may be too long, but
did you want to change that?
I would want to add 60 minutes to that.
Oh.
Unless someone else, you know, wants to change.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
All right, any other changes? Are there any objections to those changes? Hearing none, then that those changes are approved. And are there is the agenda approved? Any objections to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none, then we'll go ahead with the agenda as listed.
Chair, I'm losing you again. Can you reposition?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I will.
Oh,
try
perfect.
To pick up.
That's great.
I'll
whatever you
better.
Did is great.
Thank you. I
Richard.
Believed. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello, Richard.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
It's going.
Well, got any quorum yet?
Yes, we
yep.
do.
All right.
We just approved an agenda, and we're going on to the next scheduled meeting date.
I can barely
Ted
hear you, Carol.
High school.
Hello, Ted.
Hello. Hi, Ted.
The next scheduled meeting date is on for Sunday the 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern.
What month?
January.
You thought you were going to get a month off, Ted?
No, but I'm leaving you guys after that one, probably.
Well, are there any problems with that? At the usual third Sunday at the usual 8 p.m. All right, then let us, hearing no objections, and let us approve that. The next meeting will be Sunday, 21st at 8 p.m. And the next item is the approval of the minutes.
Carolyn, I don't know about other people, but I can barely hear you.
Oh, really? Are you having trouble hearing?
Now I can hear you.
All right. I guess I just have to inhale a little bit more.
You just have to keep your mouth next to the phone microphone.
Well, thank you. Yes. It's moving the boom around. I have a wire.
Okay.
And I can hear Richard extremely well. It's just,
oh, yeah. And you, too.
Carolyn, does your boom have a, does your microphone piece have a clip on it that you can clip somewhere so it holds it closer to your mouth?
No, it's just flexible, and I'm experimenting with it, but most of
put it under your tongue. No.
It's my voice so crazy.
We can take your temp at the same time.
Right.
Something like that, yeah.
Now there were compressors.
All right. Are there any questions about the minutes? The minutes from Harrison. At Harrison Center. All right. Hearing no objections, shall we move to adopt the minutes?
Carolyn?
Yes.
This is Ted.
Yes, Ted.
I don't care who does it, but I think somebody else needs to chair this meeting because I can barely hear you.
Oh, really? You still having trouble hearing me?
Yeah.
Lean back a little stronger right then.
Uh-huh. But it's
maybe
it's very just the way
sporadic.
I'm talking then.
Can you just use your
my voice up.
Can you just use your regular phone, Carolyn?
Well, I can, but then it doesn't leave me my hands free. Okay. I have no way to plug in on that phone. That's the problem.
Then you have to project like an opera singer.
I am doing that as well as I can. Give me 5 minutes, and if that still doesn't work, I'll switch to the other.
Okay. Room.
Thank you. All right. The minutes from Harrison were sent around. That's the minutes of the November 19th meeting, and that included.
Lauren.
That included a report. We're about to look at the minutes from November 19th. That included the report from the work group. The work group on voter participation, which met Sunday, October 22nd, from 5 to 7 at Pacifica time. Carol Wolf, Ted Weisgall, and Harrison Weil. And that report had some very specific recommendations. There were 9 of them, and then some issues where Harrison noted the disagreement, 2 of those. Now does, and then an addendum. Are there any comments on that, or any motions to move that as written?
I wasn't present, so I think somebody...
This is Jane.
Jane?
Yeah, I have to refresh my... confess I haven't thought about it since our last meeting, but I remember I was thinking that the proposal concerning the newsletter sounded... I don't remember. It was called a...
Folio.
Folio, yeah. It was. It sounded like a good idea, but I wondered if it might be a little far-reaching... and should perhaps have some, just a little bit of, instead of being, I mean, I think everything else was just of vital importance, and that one, it was a really good idea, but I wondered if maybe that should, I'm looking for the language of it right now.
It's not very long, Jane, since I was one of the people that proffered this, and if Harrison doesn't mind, may I read what we have here?
Fine with me.
Yes, go ahead, Ted.
Okay. It's number 5 in our recommendations, and it's that each station should publish an uncensored folio published at least quarterly. An editorial board of 4 LSD members should be selected by STV ballot. Seed money for this effort should be provided by the stations, but advertisers should be sought to underwrite the expense. No advertiser should be excluded except by unanimous vote of the 4 editors.
All right. Jane, do
I just want to make a little of a comment on that, is that I think it's a really good idea. It's far-reaching for this committee, but I think that I personally like the recommendation of a specific number, the specific recommendation of 4 LSB members selected by SCD vote ballot. That sounds very precise, and I think that's helpful. I wonder if published at least quarterly I think that should be a little more flexible. I don't like it being so specific, but at least annually, at least biannually. Quarterly sounds like a lot to me, especially at the beginning.
Carol Wolf?
Yes, Carol.
I know, I guess, Jane, what you're saying is that it's ambitious to even try to think of 4 per year, but if you don't do at least 4, I think you really lose the impact, and the purpose was to let listeners know they could expect some regular communication. What isn't specified and should help a little bit is that it doesn't say how long it has to be, so I think some communication at least quarterly. It could be 2 pages, it could be 8, it could be whatever could be managed.
Mary Bird?
I'd like to be on the stack, Madam
and,
Chair.
And Terry.
Mary, Ted, Terry.
I wasn't here to be part of that, which I would have liked to be, but I have a problem with an editorial board of 4 LSB members putting a folio together which involves programmers. So the LSB people, I'm not sure they have the time to put into this or the ability or the availability to be in close contact with programmers to get their content and all of that. And in practice, I mean, the folio would be listing the programs. It's not just, if it has not the purpose of doing that, then that's fine. If it's just a matter of letters to the editor, as it were. But I just don't see how that is feasible. At KPFA, we're having a goal to have an online folio, which would be put together. And it's hard enough to get the programmers to submit stuff for the promotion page that we already have. And I wouldn't like it to be so restrictive, because I just don't, from my experience of working with the folio, which is moderate, I don't think this can be sustained or even done at all by LSB members who, you know, they have jobs, everything else, and they're not available when the staff is around.
I'd like to be included on the stack. This is Melinda.
All right. Ted, I believe you were...
I think since I helped to create this, I'll wait, if I might, till others who are not a part of our working group speak. I'll just take notes.
This is Jane. I'd like to get back on the stack.
All right.
Richard, was on. I asked a while ago. I don't know if you got me.
Oh, I didn't hear you, Richard. I'm sorry. All right. Terry?
Okay. I'm going to speak against items 1, 3, and 9 and in favor of item 5. Item 1 is the links from the station's homepage to the election pages should be more prominent, with type at least as large as the second largest typeface on the homepage, starting 2 weeks before nominations open. My only problem with that is the specificity of type as large as the second largest, because that could be awful large. Item 3 is candidate spots should be aired every half hour, 24 hours a day on a rotational basis, even during fund drives, and that participation in the election and governance should be used as part of fundraising pitches. The PMB has already adopted a minimum schedule for the airing of candidate carts, and to the extent that this would override that, it would require eventually a 2/3 vote of the PMB. If that action didn't time out. And I happen to think that every half hour, 24 hours a day is too much. On item 9, that is, more listeners would participate if the LSB exercised more authority over programming policy. While I'm sure that's true, I don't like its inclusion as a recommendation, because it's just an observation, not a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And emphasizing the LSB's relationship to programming policy, I think, de-emphasizes the LSB's responsibilities with respect to governance, so I would want that removed. As to number 5, which we've already discussed about an editorial board, I see an editorial board as separate from the folio editor, that the editorial board would be LSB members who would be there to resolve issues about censorship or something if they come up, and the folio editor needs to be backed up or shot down on the basis of one of the editor's decisions. I'm through.
Okay, thank you.
Carolyn, this
Don
is
White on the stack.
Okay.
That's Stasny on the stack for just a very brief question that when you're finished.
Here. Great.
All right. I think we have a problem here, and that is that I have jumped the agenda. Somehow we skipped the National Election Supervisory Report, which was next, and we went straight to the workgroup report, and that is my mistake.
Can't hear you.
Is Les
on call?
Pardon? Yes, Les is on the call. And
we went
so
to approving.
I'm going to ask permission to suspend this discussion and go and correct our mistake and go back to the original agenda, which is the report and Q&A from Les. Radke, the supervisor.
Fine with me. Go ahead.
Any objections to that?
This is Terry. I'm wondering if...
I'll remain on the stack until then?
Yes, I'll keep the stack.
Okay, cool.
I'd ask the chair to query Art if he wanted to talk about what we were talking about or if he should be heard before the NES report.
Art, well, there's a long stack ahead of Art, actually.
Well...
But his was a question.
You had a point of information, Art?
No, I was simply going to ask if I may ask Les a 15-second question. He can answer it, and then I'm gone, because I'm sort of tied up. Is that possible?
Okay, yes, thank you. Let us, if there are no objections, we will move to the National Election Supervisor.
But not 1 second more than 15.
No. And then, Mary Berg, may I advise the chair that we were actually... on the approval of the minutes, we were not actually supposed to be discussing the report. So where we go back is the approval of the minutes,
not the discussion of the report. Thank you very much.
We can go back wherever we want.
Yeah,
well,
so that's
what
we go
then
back
that is
to.
What I'm interrupting. Thank you, the approval of the minutes.
Let's go back to do less right now and do the minutes later. Let's not make him wait while we...
Right, exactly. I just want to say where we were going back.
Les, is that all right with you?
Absolutely.
All right, you're on the clock.
Well, let's Art ask his question.
Yes, Art, do you want to ask?
Yes.
Because then you have to go, I know.
Les, I have a bunch of complex issues to ask about. Can I ask them by email to your usual address, ballot@pacifica.org? Yes or no?
No.
No. How can I ask them by email at all?
Yes.
And what is the email address?
Just informing people to... Pacifica server was hacked. A lot of the email is down. Mine is one of those. They're trying to restore it. So until it's restored, that address does not work. My address that always works is les@ix.netcom.com.
les@ix.netcom.com.
Right.
Thank you. I'll bail out. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Art.
Bye.
Yes.
Do you want to give a little summary and then take some questions?
Sure. I think, there's even more problems that came up this time than in the past for a number of reasons, including attitudes about not only the listeners, but I think attitudes concerning these elections in general. so I think many of you have heard people talk about things such as having some groups talk of canceling elections, other groups talking of lowering the quota. And I don't think either of those is the problem, but I do think there is a problem, and it starts with the entire timeline, both when the elections are being held as well as the conditions under which they're being held. So this has been coming up every single time that we've had these elections, and none of the five stations has ever carried out the timetable, although we got three stations this time that were close, but no election has totally been able to follow the timetable. There's a reason for it. It has to do with when the elections are being held, and all three, Terry Parishis and Kenny Mostyn and myself, have argued for the same timetable, which is that this election process should start in January, and it should be moved to January 2008 for the next election, so that other things can be taken care of. It's a serious discussion, but if it's not done, I think that each election is going to find more and more problems, and I'll explain a little bit why. It has to do include the teleconference call I had earlier today. So I would say, first of all, that timeline should be looked at. All the recommendations of both the local election supervisors, national election supervisor, not only talked about moving it to the spring, but also talked for the reasons of not conflicting with a fund drive, not conflicting with local or state or national elections, not conflicting with, you know, Thanksgiving and other holidays. But in addition to that, the whole question of the timeline in terms of the nomination period being too long, we don't need that length, and the campaign period being too short. And that's particularly important because people are raising questions about how more effectively to have these forums have questions and make sure that people actually have an opportunity to both ask and get answers to their questions. So that's almost number one. If that isn't done, I think this whole election process will, in fact, be compromised. I'm going to mention some simple things. I mean, part of this is going to be vetted by the elections working group. But there were technical problems with ballot counting. Four stations know about that. The fifth station, we resolved all those problems, and particularly the whole question of barcodes and envelopes has now totally been changed. So there were many, many technical problems, and as we went through the stations, they got better because we totally rewrote the program. I'm hoping that that's the program that is used simply because I think it's looked at right now the way it's been corrected. And there were several problems with it, but it's a pretty good program.
And Les, excuse me, this is Les?
Yes.
This is Ted, and I'm real. Maybe it's my age, but I'm really straining to hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was.
That's much better.
My fault.
Thank you.
I'm partially looking at notes and talking to myself. I'm sorry. I apologize. In terms of a couple of other technical problems, databases. The database problem can be resolved, and we're not talking about months and tens of thousands of dollars. We're talking of weeks and hundreds of dollars at every station. That will be in my report. It's something that we did at both WPFW and KPFA in terms of cleaning up the list. There's more to be done even at those two stations, but at least we have a handle on what can be done. There's a more serious problem, and the problem is really not the database itself. The more serious problem is having an infrastructure at the national level that says here's how these databases should be handled at each station. Because right now, there are no rules. The rules are you sort of have each station kind of muddling along doing what they want. Even when they turned in the membership list, again, all the supervisors have complained about that. The membership lists themselves are put together in different ways at different stations, so it gets very, very difficult trying to unravel what's happening. I think that's both a question of putting out clear directions that there be a manual for these elections, how MEMSIS, the database program, is to be used, but also there should be direction from the national board and the executive director, and that's going to depend on, it seems to me, that there should be some unanimity among the people on the National Elections Committee, you know, for this. Many questions came up in terms of training for the supervisors, and the training consists of things like making sure that they understand how carts are made and who to go through, because it's, all of the supervisors mentioned the same thing, that it took them a month to get a place at each station and try to start working with people. Even those who knew something about the station and had familiarity had a difficult time with that, and it took intervention to try to get people who were the local election supervisors recognized by management. That should be automatic, given that we're going into the fourth election cycle. I did pass out. I'm not going to go over all the things I mentioned. Certainly, the fair campaign violations. I'm spending some time writing all that down because there are more gray areas than I can imagine in terms of this particular election cycle. People at stations, programmers, urging people to boycott the elections, which we tried dealing with in the last election cycle, and it was decided that that's free speech. But it doesn't seem that that should be free speech, because obviously if you allow programmers with the tacit agreement of management, that tacit agreement meaning that they don't do something about it, it's one of the factors that leads to the fact that you don't make quorum. I think the type of resolution that the PNB passed, talking about putting in, an evaluation of how management worked with the local election supervisors, that's important. And I also think the motion that was passed about the number of carts and how that's handled at each station, I think that's important, because that kind of structure certainly, even if it's not followed, it certainly puts pressure on the management, and that has to be summed up this time, because I think it improved after that resolution was passed, but it wasn't exactly followed at each station. Other than that, I gave my short, I put out my short comments about this, and we can talk about some questions about it. I don't know how you want to divide this up.
Does anyone like to begin some questions? I have a few, but I will wait.
I will. This is Ted.
Ted, go ahead.
And Terry. Don White.
Don.
Richard.
Richard.
Les.
Les.
No, this is Ted asking lots of questions.
Oh, okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Actually, I have two questions. I hope you'll allow me to ask both of them. The first one, did I misunderstand you? Were you suggesting that we not have elections in the year 2007 and put the elections off to 2008?
That's correct.
Wouldn't that require, that strikes me as requiring an amendment to the bylaws, and it would put us up against the federal elections, which you said you didn't want to end up having to do. Would you address that? And then I have my second question.
There are no federal elections in February.
Are you talking of, I'm sorry, what are you suggesting more specifically, that the elections be pushed late 7 into 2008?
Right, that they be pushed to January, we start January 15, 2008.
With the board being elected by when? LSBs.
We do a change, but it would be approximately in March.
The election, the new board would be seated like 2 months later, is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay. My second question has to do with the local matter here in Houston, but it would have national implications. is where the local election supervisor, to my best understanding, announced the deadline at 5 p.m. on whatever date it was, and then apparently one of the candidates, Mike Martin, turned in his application after that, and it was considered to be legitimate. And I know that came to you for a final ruling, and I'd like to know what your take was on that and how you reached your final ruling.
I did think I published that. The ruling was the same as the last two elections, which is that and both the last two elections actually did that. I know that because I was the local election supervisor at KPFA, and I accepted papers until midnight. Had a big thing. It also occurred the last election. It was pretty arbitrary, the last election, as to which station took late papers and which didn't. The bylaws state that they have to be taken, that the nominations close September 25th, and it doesn't have a deadline. And what I told the local election supervisors is, I give them the opportunity to close it off at 5, and that was on the original nomination papers, but they had the option to do what's been done in the last two elections, which is to actually stay there at the station and accept papers that date. Actually, all the election supervisors, in fact, did that, not just in Houston.
Could you repeat that, Les?
All the election supervisors stayed later than 5 p.m. at all the stations, at all five stations.
I'd like to be added to the list, please. This is Melinda.
Yes, Melinda. Okay, Ted, does that answer your question?
I just want to make a statement that in the guidebook that Les suggests that we put together this particular deadline time, we definitely should address it, and it should be much clearer than it currently is. I assume Les agrees with that.
I do agree with that, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'm done for now.
Okay. Don,
did you ask? Yes. I'm just going to basically...
Excuse me, before you get started, Don, someone is running water. Could I ask you to mute your phone while you're doing that? Thank you.
I have a million questions, but I'll just ask one. I will say that I think the board, the PNB, needs to look at timeline very carefully, that it's kind of ridiculous that we've been had recommendations over a long period of time, that the timeline is not effective, and yet we don't seem to be addressing that. So, but my question has to do, Les, with possible paid staff between now and the next election, kind of preparing the foundation, the lists and other parts of the process for the next election. It seems to me it's unfair to hire a election supervisor and five local station supervisors and throw them into a process that seems not prepared for people to come in and work effectively. For instance, several members of this committee have recommended before even a supervisor is chosen at a local a station, that the station identify the liaisons, the person at that station who's going to be held responsible for immediately cooperating with the local station supervisor in preparing cards, and that there would be a space allowed for the supervisor. So my question is, do you think that we should think about some kind of paid position or positions between now and the next election to actually prepare, not politically, but just functioning, like whether or not the lists are secure, what lists will be available, are they cleaned up? And the second part of the question is, in Los Angeles, when they were opening ballots, there was one check for $1,500, and there were several for $500 and so on. How will that money that was raised through the ballot process be used, and could that be used to hire some people, at least partly pay for them?
Well, that money, I mean, by the way, all five stations had money come in. That money was turned over to the station to be put into their fund. I mean, it was a general, it was not specific. you know, while it was collected for the elections, the elections committees don't have checking accounts or their own bank accounts that goes into the general fund. I think you have, you know, I think you're right that morally it would not be bad to use that money for, you know, at least a couple of the following.
What was the total of the five stations?
I'm sorry, I don't have that here.
That's okay.
Somewhere on the order of 15,000. The two things that are easy. I mean, easy means that this could be directed from the center. Is the space, particularly given that we've now ended up with space at each of these stations that at least is semi-usable by local election supervisors. That was a struggle. I can say that at KPFA, I ended up the whole election when I did it without a space, and it was spotty in the last election. So at least this time, people ended up with a computer they could use, and it's very important that people are in the middle of the station for much of the work because they have to deal with paid and unpaid staff. They have to deal with all of these things. So that part should be, you know, not just let go, but it should be acknowledged that those spaces are for the local election supervisor the next time. The other part of the question has to do with something which really is, it seems to me, in the station's effort, benefit to resolve, which has to do with mailing lists. Because that becomes a very large part of this program, even though it's not even mentioned in the job description to people. When the bylaws were written, it was more or less assumed that the memberships at the station would be important for management and that that would be taken care of. It's clear that the whole question of memberships is pretty sloppy. Let me give an example, one that I thought was clear-cut, paid staff. There's no definition in there what makes a person paid staff.
Mm-hmm.
Is a work-study student who's paid part-time during the year, is that person paid staff or not? They're on the payroll of the station. Are they paid staff? I don't know. In the case of KPFA, for example, we decided to remove them. I'm not sure what basis I made the decision on. It was kind of, you know, I hadn't thought about it, and I said, well, they're really not. They don't identify as paid staff. They are coming in as a work-study program, and, you know, it's not like they necessarily have a commitment to the station. How, you know, at what point do we take care of that? So that's a simple thing, like the paid staff list. Do I just use the paid staff list from the National or not? Because those paid staff lists from the National are very different than the paid staff list at each individual station. With unpaid staff, of course, there's four different criteria depending on, you know, how each station judges what an unpaid staff is. Certainly in the bylaws, WBAI, KPFA, and the rest of the stations, that's three categories of unpaid staff that are written into the bylaws. That should be taken care of because otherwise we spend a lot of time, is a person a member of the staff? Are they not? Are they a member of the foundation? Formally, are they not? That should be pretty clear-cut. We need to have that distinction between staff and listeners. So those things that you're mentioning, having a liaison for the person, having, you know, a workstation for the person, and knowing that that liaison person is a real person that they can, that the local election supervisor can go to be oriented, the local, that liaison person themselves should have, you know, at least some notes as to what is required of the relationship between the liaison person and the local election supervisor. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't seem to me to be very difficult to
no.
propose to have.
Okay, thank you. Richard, I think you were next. Don, does that answer your question before we move on?
Yes, that's fine,
yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, Richard, do you think you were next?
Yeah, Les, can you give me a quick, before I comment completely, can you give me a quick idea of how well the motion that letter substituted for our motion about requirements of car plays, how well that was implemented at each station?
That'll be in the report. I don't have, I mean, only have, you know, only some of the, couple of the reports have come in.
Okay.
And I have to, you know, I want to be careful about that. You know, anecdotally, I know that there's a couple of stations that just sort of, it was very, very sloppy. The other part of this does have to do with a technical problem that should be looked at. This is more difficult. I want to make sure everybody understands this because people are suspicious about how people spin this stuff. But there are real technical problems at every station about how you figure out when cards are played, how many times cards are played. Because sometimes it's down on a piece of paper there, and that piece of paper does not match reality. In other words, there are times when some of the stuff is filled out after cards are played, not during them, and it's a little bit sloppy. So particularly with the election stuff, it gets very difficult just to look at a piece of paper and say, I can be assured that that's how things happen. People push the wrong button to play the card, and the wrong card gets played, and that doesn't get on the piece of paper. So the answer to your question is we're not going to have a definitive answer because even with the pieces of paper, it's up to, you know, we had criticisms at different stations that certain carts were played more often than others. Most of this is anecdotal.
Yeah, I know that happened to KPFA in the morning time a couple of times. Same thing got played 2 hours in a row or something. You know, on the one hand, having worked in commercial radio and been around KPFA, you know, that problem is dealt with 24 hours a day in commercial stations. They have to log all their commercials. And so those are cards, too. I mean, there are systems to do that and to do it right. It's not complicated. It's not expensive. It's just a matter of bookkeeping. And people have to be trained to do it and do it. And, you know, I mean, that's, I don't know. I get a sense that there's a certain amount of a wink and a nod when people say we have problems getting that done because, you know, all the other places do it and it's not a big problem. So I'm just not sure. The other thing I want to say about that situation is that the schedule that, you know, that they passed was certainly not sufficient to give proper election coverage. And I think it was a token response, you know, to a demand for something real. And it, you know, it caused not much coverage out here because by the time anything got on the air, it was, you know, about half the ballots were in. So, you know, that needs to be changed definitely and strengthened. Otherwise, I don't think we're going to, you know, get very far. The thing about, you know, changing the election, that is going to require a bylaws amendment, and it might even require a membership vote because it's going to be delaying, or in a sense, changing the you know, some right that the members have. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we're going to be able to get that done, you know, expeditiously, because we don't get it done expeditiously, then we're going to be coming up against the next election with not much time left.
This is Jane on the back.
Yes, I'm sorry. Richard, are you...
I'm just concerned about... Yeah. I don't have any problem with it. It's just the mechanics of doing it to not, you know, mess up something. It would seem to me that maybe the way to do it was have the next election just be when it is, since it's not in a national election year. Get through it, and then the next year have a bylaws convention, since there isn't any election, and make all those changes.
All right. Now, someone was on the stack after Richard. Was that Jane originally, or was that someone else?
Melinda.
It was Melinda. All right. Melinda, and then Jane. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I actually had two questions, and I promise to be brief. First question I wanted to ask was in behalf of, well, actually as a result of a conversation I had today with Tucker Bradley. She had said she wanted to know if there was going to be any definitive list of questions that would be asked that people might want to know from the local election supervisor. And she wanted to know where she could find those because she wanted to be sure to address any possible, questions to tie up loose ends before as she left the job. do you know of such, Les, that comes to mind? I asked earlier, but I was just wondering if you knew of anything.
Well, I just I had a very brief outline I sent out about, you know, the problems they had integrating into the if you're integrating into the management and, you know, problems they had. Mostly what we talked about were the problems that people were having with the nomination process, the candidate process, and, you know, working in terms of outreach, because I was really trying to emphasize outreach this time somewhat unsuccessfully. But more than that, no, I don't have any other questions.
Okay. I think outreach, to be honest with you, having worked in two elections both times, was abysmal, and I think that's something we definitely need to do. We definitely have to put some energy behind, because otherwise it's difficult to get any kind of, it's difficult to keep our membership up, first of all, and second of all, to get good candidates and diverse ones. I also had as a question for myself, basically I wanted to throw something out on the floor. As a person who is passing on, who has been chair since right after the first election that was ever created, I filled in some shoes that had been originally set up by Robin Lewis. Needless to say, Robin was, and of course her supervisor, were basically operating in a void. They were building as they were going. They created a chair of the of a committee for the LSB. Just basically because they were kind of working as they were going. I have learned in the last one that there had been some objections, you know, because there had been questions as to whether we were over, you know, there was, you know, overstepping boundaries. But there never really was. I was always understood from my descriptions of, we're talking with Kenny Mostrin and later on with Les, I knew very much that I had to work. Of course, we work underneath the supervisors. Sorry, I'm a little long-winded, but one thing I did note from two different elections and two different approaches I took as a chair. In the first one, I had been requested to put together a committee, and Bobby Muldoon was able literally to walk in, and I handed him the gavel, and he literally walked in and took over a chair, a committee. Now, I noted this time that we basically went with the bylaws, which said that the supervisor may. They didn't say they have to, but it says they may do their own committee. And I noted that there wasn't as strong of a background for her. And so my thought is that for the future, it's probably a better idea if perhaps there is not necessarily a paid position, and although I do like what Don White had suggested, but I wanted to know about the idea of, you know, just having a committee that would be there to have a continuity of process for the local elections, because somebody has to do the STV, and also just as a means of being able to have something set up, because the supervisors have got just so many hats to wear. It's just impossible when they start up and, okay, I'm in a foreign station and I got to create a committee, and I have to do ads, and I have to do this, that, and the other. I think that just kind of adds additional aggravation for them, that in an environment that they're new to. And so that's just, I know that's, I just want to see what people think about that idea.
Well, I want to make a comment. The comment is this. Nationwide, there basically were committees that did not function quite well this time. And what I mean by that is the number of people who were not candidates and who were both considered and considered themselves neutral in this process were very, very few. Again, anecdotally, I can talk about the process at KPFA, because as the first election supervisor, we had a regular committee. We almost always had 10 people who considered themselves relatively neutral. It was people doing a lot of work in terms of outreach and preparing cable TV programs and handling carts, handling people who were coming in for forms. I had access to the same people, and they simply did not take part in the committee this year. So the local election supervisor at KPFA became very frustrated, because it was very difficult working, with with a committee where it wasn't a bunch of volunteers who were primarily interested in working and doing the actual technical work. When I found out that that was true at all five stations, it was very discouraging, that it seems like, for whatever reason this time around, there was much less of a desire for a lot of neutral people to be working on these committees.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mary Berg, I have a point of information. I thought I heard someone come on the line. Was that Zarina?
No, that was Carol switching phones.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Okay, I think, Jane, you were next.
Point of order. This is Ted.
Yes,
can, I don't know if it's a point of order. I think it is. Les, can you, again, try to speak up a little bit?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's much better.
Yeah.
Jane? This is Jane. I'd like to just ask for a little more discussion about the election schedule. My observations as a voter and, you know, just a member of the LSB is that the election, the conflict with the national elections and local elections, I'm not sure if that's a real conflict. I know it's a lot has been brought up about that conflict, and I'm leaning towards what Richard commented earlier, which is that, hey, let's just go with the current schedule for 2007, and then, you know, over the course, you know, hopefully over the course of the next few months, think it through in more detail and propose any changes that are really necessary. I see the report from that Terry forwarded to us, and I know that they recommend a change in schedule. What seems definitive is that there needs to be more time for the actual balloting procedures and less time for the campaigning. But I'm not sure if it's definitive, if there's a need to shift it to a different time of the year. And just because there's, you know, there's going to be a lot of issues involved with doing that, I just want to ask for a little bit more input from Les while he's on the line here.
What I fear... I think you're right about, I mean, obviously there has to be a bylaws change, but if we're going to be changing some of the parts of the timeline concerning the nomination period, the campaign period, et cetera, I would argue strongly that we complete it and put it in a period of the year where there are not competing things. This year was particularly bad because even though there was a first-class mailing, with all the junk mail going out for campaigning nationwide, it did slow down the process. Just like at Christmas time, you can mail something first class, but it gets lost in the flood of mail. So that's part of the problem, even if you just have local elections. But the broader problem is also... You know, you've got the fall fund drive, and it's sort of, it can't be too close to Christmas, and it's sort of stuck right in the middle of the campaign period. It makes it very awkward for that reason. So the idea is to hold it at a time where it doesn't conflict with that fundraising period, where the station is always going to fight things like carts or forms or anything else during that period, because they obviously have to raise the funds. So that's the other part of it. I still strongly recommend that this be handled as quickly as possible.
Terry, point of privilege.
Terry.
Can the chair please read the stack and make sure I'm on it?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your voice. No, you
can
were not on
please?
It. You are now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. but go ahead and read the stack.
Well, Jane was the last person whose voice I heard, so you are next.
I would like to be added at the end
All right, and I would like to put my cell phone. I haven't spoken yet. Jane, are you still?
No, just
you have a question?
Uh-huh. Yeah, just so for clarification, the timeline that you think is most workable would be one where the campaigning actually begins in January. Is that correct?
Not the campaigning, the nomination period.
The nomination period begins in January, and the campaigning, and when is the closing of, what time period would you picture would be the close of campaigning and the returning of, asking for...
Roughly the 7th of February would be the close of the nomination period.
And then people would be sending in... the close of nomination would be 7th of February, and then there would be a campaigning period of about a month?
That's correct.
And then people would be asked to send their ballots in by the middle to the end of March?
Yeah, approximately.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Terry?
Yes, as former traffic manager of KPFK, I want to respond to a comment that Richard made, that the idea of board operators mishandling the handling of scheduled promotional announcements, either maliciously or incompetently, are both believable and neither excusable. I also wanted to mention that the report of the KPFK local election supervisor has been posted to our public Google group.
Right.
And I'd like to ask Les when we can expect his written report so that we can review
weekend. This weekend.
Thank you.
I could not hear you. I'm trying to get all the local reports.
He said this weekend.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, that's good. I think I was... next on the stack, I had a few questions. You had said at one point, you're very clear that the jobs of the list to some extent were not the National Supervisors list, but in July of 2004, the board passed a motion, the PNB passed a motion, if I may read it, that the National Election Supervisor shall designate a secure independent audit procedure to verify member database accuracy and compliance with the bylaws and shall supervise the updating of the subscribers and donors lists as well as the paid and unpaid staff lists at each station to ensure that the membership roles meet the requirements of the bylaws. The local election supervisors and local station management and staff shall work under the direction of the National Election Supervisor to ensure that the membership lists are as accurate and current as possible. In the event that the National Election Supervisor, Elections Committee, and or the CFO have a significant conflict regarding cost or procedures, the matter will be immediately referred to the PNB. Now, that seems to conflict with the way you have perceived your relationship to the databases, and then now we have this added input that the general managers are now being required to keep a list. I wanted to ask about your feelings about that role that you have, and also have the general managers been generally complying with their new requirement to keep a list?
Well, I don't think that what I said is in conflict with the PNB resolution. What I wrote is de facto the database question is a major part of the supervisor's job given the lack of a foundation infrastructure. And what the PNB resolution says is because there is no foundation infrastructure concerning databases, let's pass it off to the National Election Supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. The problem with it is that the National Election Supervisor and the local election supervisors, we don't have access to MEMSIS. I mean, technically, just, in terms of being able to go in and say, here's what you do, nor do we have the power. In other words, I can say whatever I want. I can say, give me the list. You know, April 17th, we asked for the list of I thought it was very simple, of unpaid staff from every station. And, I got two of those lists after the election rolls were closed. This is after the executive director and I got on the horn with every single general manager after the executive director actually wrote notes to them saying what they had to do. So, you know, you can say anything you want. You can pass a resolution saying take care of this problem and do it pronto and not give any power to do it. I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do when I'm sent these lists and I'm trying to figure out, you know, how do you make this volunteer list? So, if, for example, WPFW, it's a very, very sloppy list that when I went over it with the local election supervisor in terms of, you know, who's on this volunteer list, it was very difficult. Something got fouled up. We're not quite sure what at KPFK. It's very difficult,